we ugly as fuck. In the summer, in the land, don't you? Everybody, we are back for episode number 2. We made it. Mm-hmm. So cheers to you, Ben. Number 2.
Cheers.
Yes. So if you're downloading again, thank you. Survived the first one. Wasn't a whole lot of format to it. That was intentional. We were just kind of seeing how this thing worked and so we're happy with it. It was fun. And so we're going to give this a go again. We do have another episode coming up this week. We'll be having a guest on, and we'll go more into that in a little bit. But first things first, want to start with a recap of The Walking Dead from last night. What'd you think, babe?
I mean, I don't think that I could have cried more. Maybe that last This Is Us episode.
That was way worse.
Cried equally. I just wasn't as sniffly last night, but I was bawling the whole time, I think.
Yeah,
it's so not, sad.
Not me.
No, yes, you're an asshole.
You were definitely.
You were griping emotional about it not having enough action, which I mean, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well, but they were saying goodbye to Carl. You heartless.
Well, here's my problem with it. They started saying goodbye to him at the end of the first half of this
season.
No,
they had just seen that he was dying.
I know. And when I saw he was bit, I'm good. There's my goodbye. And here's why.
Oh, my God.
Here's what my problem is with The Walking Dead. And I'm going to really upset you here,
mm-hmm.
is I'm willing to suspend my belief and rationale and go on this journey with the show mm-hmm. every week. And there's too many inconsistencies. The Carl being bit and he survives the whole day and night to the next day. He's sitting in the church. And by the way, spoiler alerts.
You're fucked late already. For that,
but yeah, so he survives that whole time. But you go back, and it's just inconsistent because our guy, Tyrese, he got bit in the house by the kid zombie, right?
He got bit a couple times, though, didn't
but
he?
No, it was on his arm.
It was
and
on
he
his arm,
threw
but then
off.
I thought that old guy one came in, and I don't know, but I get it.
He was hallucinating 5 minutes later in the truck, seeing the dead girl that Daryl loved, the blonde girl that got shot, and she was like welcoming him home, and like, it's okay. Carl has some kind of superhuman immune system or something.
Can you just get over that? And
that's what's hard for me, because I'm already compromising my beliefs here. And then you give me those little inconsistencies. In addition to...
You're getting on my nerves.
The trailer made me think there was some Negan fighting going on, and I never saw Negan.
In that dream.
We'll get to that in a second. You're absolutely right. Thank you for reminding me. So, that's okay. Where we disagree, but that's
so,
fine.
So, whatever. But, here's what I liked about it, because I remember when Carl was in the woods with that guy helping him out, and they got attacked by a bunch of walkers. I remember thinking that something looked wrong with him when that whole scuffle was done. Like, he got up, and he had a look on his face that was kind of like, Uh-oh. But then he, when... Shit, what's that guy's name? Saeed or... Whatever that new guy's name is. Asked him what was wrong, and he was like, oh, no, I'm fine. But he had blood all over him. And I was like, thinking that something was wrong. Mm-hmm. So I like that they kind of like went back and revisited that scene too to show you that, yes, there was in fact something wrong.
Yeah.
But I thought that was kind of cool. And they had like the close up of his face of all that.
Yeah.
Which kind of just solidified my thought originally. But.
So here's another question for you then. The alternate reality, or the, you know, what we've thought as the dream flash forward of Rick, old man Rick.
We thought that was Rick's dream at first. Yeah.
So we found out that's Carl's, and that's cool. But what's your takeaway from Negan being in it? What do you think that means in the heads of the writers? Why'd they do that? That has to be a seed, right? That has to be a,
yes, and
a sign.
Chris Hardwick was saying something on Talking Dead about it, like that it kind of alludes to some stuff that happens in the comics, and but I didn't read the comics, which I really should, but I mean, who knows? I think that that's obviously Carl's dream of a utopian
ending
to all this.
So why is Rick old and no one else is?
I told you last night, he's not that old. I mean, if you grew your beard out, it would be gray like that. I think he's just older.
His hair is white, too.
Maybe he got struck by lightning.
He's full-blown white.
Maybe he went back to the future in the DeLorean. And I don't know.
See, what but, I... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, I was... I mean, maybe that is, like, in the... From the viewpoint of the writers, like, that's planting the seed of there will be maybe some kind of integration with Negan. Not that happy, happy, joy, joy, you know, everybody's gardening time.
Could it be, logically, because you definitely know more about the show and you're more invested than me.
Mm-hmm.
I've given this a lot of thought today. Do you think it could be... Number one, a sign that Negan gets some sort of obvious redemption, right? Because he's into their utopia. He's in the picture. So somehow he's redeemed. Now, I know in the graphic novel that Carl befriends him after guarding him for a long time and after they held him captive and stuff. So I'm sure that it's along that storyline. But what I think could be possible, and I could be way off here, is all these people are younger than Rick. Because they look how they look when they died. And so Rick outlived them all in that world.
Oh.
Almost like Lost. Like,
oh, fuck that, though.
An ending place where they all agreed to meet, you know, after.
But why is Judas 6?
I don't know. This is just a theory. Is that even possible? And I hope they don't fuck us like Lost, but...
No.
Do you think that's even legitimately a theory?
Of course that's legitimate. That's something that could be possible, but I fucking hope not. That would be such a downer.
Because so far, everyone looks like they die soon except Rick, if that's real. If I'm right. Which
I mean, that
could be wrong.
That's totally possible. You never know. I mean, they go...
Because Carl was the one that was supposed to outlive everybody, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, they're going... I think so.
So now,
but now it's going to be Judith.
Or Rick and Judith, right?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just know I was a blubbering mess, especially when he gave Judith the cowboy hat. Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, yeah.
That just killed me.
They gave him quite the send-off. I mean, I'll give him that.
Yes, for sure.
They definitely treated him right, but I thought it was pretty cool. Doucher Daryl, I thought his little goodbye to Carl was cool. It was very subtle.
Yeah.
But I liked it. That's one of the rare times I liked Daryl. I thought he gave him a...
It was very
nice
fitting.
Props.
Very fitting. I mean, it was, you know, and I liked the... Finally, that douchebag Gavin, one of the savior that was holding Ezekiel captive. I mean...
He wanted to be friends with Ezekiel. He liked Ezekiel.
I don't know, man. That guy was such a tool, though. I didn't believe anything he fucking said. But, yeah.
What about Morgan, though?
Well, Morgan's
savage. He's lost his shit again.
He gives no fucks.
If him and Rick can lose their shit at the same time, they'll kill everybody.
Well, everybody will be dead.
Together.
Yeah. But.
But I missed the gut pulling out part.
Holy balls. Yeah, you were.
Snackleton
time. Yeah, that was violent and excessive. But, I mean, it kind of. I mean, that's really. And he didn't even barely, like, change his facial expression. He was just like, rip your intestines out. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
It's pretty harsh. But I thought it was good. And Talking Dead, Chandler Riggs looked like just a whittle boy because he cut his hair and shaved, and he just looked like he was 10 years old again.
He's more mature in character, for sure. Like, Carl is way more mature than Chandler, which is cool that he's that good of an actor.
I know.
You know, that says a lot. But he's just a 17 or 18-year-old shit
shy, in real life. Awkward, yeah, just a teenager. I love it.
Finding his way.
I love it. But.
Well, cool. Well, that makes me happy then. We disagree on the overall grade of the episode, but. They haven't lost me completely yet, so I'm still there a little bit.
Well, and either way, you're fucked. You're watching it either way.
Oh, of course. Well, I know that.
I'm watching it.
I've accepted that. That's understood. But I wanted to update you today. I didn't tell you this yet, but do you remember the guy I wrote the story on Facebook like 3 years ago, that guy that did that atrocious fart at the MAPCO? I wrote the whole long Facebook post about it.
Kind of.
And I'll go ahead and tell the story again for everybody that doesn't know it. But I go to the same MAPCO every morning before I go to the gym. And I usually get like a water, a Mountain Dew, maybe a can of
whatever it is, it equals $5.49
every day.
Every day.
And, I was standing in line one morning, and this guy was two people in front of me. He's big, nasty mug. He was, you know, bigger than me, so he's 6'4", probably. Greasy, long hair that was just kind of slicked back. He was overweight, had on sweatpants, pulled up a little too high, t-shirt, just, you know, atrocious looking. And the line's pretty backed up. They only have one person working the registers. And somebody farts. And it's bad. Everyone in the line is literally about to gag. It was disgusting. And we have two boys. I've smelled everything. I have a horrible, horrible reflex or gag reflex to smell.
Oh, you're the biggest wuss. Yeah.
And so I couldn't even hide it that day. Like, I was literally gagging in my mouth. And the woman in front of me, directly behind the guy, was like melting almost. And so when we finally put everything together, just through eye contact with the other people in line, everyone knows who the farter was, that it was Big Greasy. Mm-hmm. He gets up there and checks out, and I'm interested. I'm like, what is this nasty mug buying? And he's getting a gas station sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit. Like four of those 5-hour energy shots.
Mm-hmm. Healthy.
And like four packs of Marlboro Reds. So, perfect description of why he smells so bad.
So his insides aren't rotting and dying at all.
No. And that's just insult to injury when you're buying that after you just shit on everyone in the gas station.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the funny part was that even he started to realize when he was up paying that the person taking the money could smell his fart. Everyone in line was disgruntled from the fart. There was obvious moans and groans and, you know, under their breath talking. And when he's about to leave, right before he gets to the door, he turns. This is the only reason I remember him so vividly. He returns around and faces everybody and says, "I'm sorry, my stomach hurts."
Oh,
so
yes, I do remember this story.
He just owns it, and I would usually be one that'd be like, "Dude, you disgust me." Nothing I could do. Guy apologized. He shit. He said his stomach hurts. He walked out with his ass locked up, and I thought I would never see him again.
Oh,
I saw him today. Uh-oh. I think at Kroger. It had to be him. There was not a fart this time. But
what was he buying?
90. I didn't even see what he was buying. It was strict. But I would not mistake him. That's how much time I had.
How long ago was the map to look him thing?
Up? It had to be 3 years because it was when Fitness 19 was still open.
Yeah, and that's probably been closed for over a year.
But this guy is my nemesis slash hero.
Poor guy.
And I don't know which one. But I think he knew me too. And we've only shared his fart together.
I doubt he remembered. There was the look
of like, I know you. It just blew me away.
He probably didn't remember the situation where he knows you from. He probably just remembers your face and seeing you.
The disgust on my...
Because, I mean, he probably goes to that frequency, that MAPCO.
I don't think he's ever... I go... I mean, you know that. I have a nickname there. The girls, all that work there know me.
What do they call you?
They call me Juicy.
Oh, my God. I knew it was something disgusting.
Yes. Every morning, they have my... Yeah. They have my dip ready. Uh-huh. They let me take all their good ice that I want for free. Never charge me for it. And so I would know, you know, most people go in those are really regular time people before their routine. He's smart enough to know I can never go back there. That's how bad it was. But I just thought it was funny that I saw him today and I hadn't told you.
Oh,
that.
No.
It was pretty crazy to me. But, one thing I wanted to start doing on the podcast, and I'd mentioned it when we started the idea of it, is to try to float out there, you know, little tidbits of maybe, you know, a lot like Ron Burgundy. You know, I'm going to put it out there. If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, you can send it right back. Of little relationship advice that works for us, you know. I think we have a very good relationship. I like it.
I'm a fan.
I'm good with it, and I think it's healthy. So, you know, if any of this stuff can help you, great. And it's not, it's going to change all the time. Whenever I have an idea that I want to put out there or a thought, I'll go with that. When Brooke has one, she'll go with that. So it's not beating up one gender or the other or any of that stuff. It's really just helpful hints and things that maybe we think of at the time or right before we do the podcast. And so it's really been weighing on me lately, and I've noticed it. I notice it all the time, but you know, you see people, and we'll say it, I'll say it from the perspective of the man, is a wife, girlfriend, or you know, whatever in your relationship, kind of cutting your man's balls off on like social media, you know, maybe passive aggressively posting something on Facebook about, you know, you may be vague about it, but everyone knows who you're talking about. And if you're doing that to your husband, that's just a recipe for disaster.
Well, and I feel like we've seen it in cases where like the husband isn't even on social media. So then it feels even
more dirty.
Yeah. Like,
yeah, he doesn't even have a chance to defend himself.
Right.
He gets to hear about it from, you know, a third party or something.
Or he just doesn't give a fuck.
Or he's banging somebody else. Yeah. And he doesn't give two shits because he's been put in that position. And I'm trying to tell people if they're...
Speaks volumes.
Yeah, if you're getting to where you catch yourself doing that, that's a behavior that has that is never going to end well.
So give an example.
In my opinion. So... You know, somebody posts on Facebook, oh, feeling, you know,
underappreciated
or underappreciated as, you know, as shit. I do everything around here.
I wish somebody would help me with anything.
I don't want to talk about it, though. That kind
don't
of stuff.
Don't ask me.
Yeah.
Please. Please ask.
And then so someone like me immediately chimes in to stir that shit pot a little. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, what happened? Exactly. Tell me. You brought it up.
Give the details.
Yeah, we got to know. You know, I can't stand vague bookers. And that is the biggest culprit I know. And you see it so often now with all the social media stuff. And I think it's very fixable, but that just relates to the same thing as don't air your dirty laundry on that shit. No one wants to see that first off.
Yeah.
and it's never going to do anything good for your relationship, you know? And we're absolutely perfectly qualified to give you all this advice because we've both been divorced. So we're obviously pros at this.
I mean, the one thing that we can say for that is that we know with 100% certainty what we don't want in a relationship and what doesn't work.
Absolutely. So, from both perspectives of what,
right.
What didn't sit well with us, what we didn't sit well with others.
And, I mean, it's not always a wife or girlfriend, by the way, that posts those kind of things. Absolutely
not. I'm just telling it from the man's side. Absolutely not.
Right. And either way, I mean, devil's advocate, the person that posts it, I wouldn't say is 100% at fault, because to me, it screams that there's a communication issue in that relationship just as a whole. And, you know, maybe her husband does ignore her and not talk to her, but that might be because she's a fucking bitch and she goes and posts shit like that about Faye. So it's just, you know, instead of posting stuff on Faye.
A vicious cycle, you're saying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's just, it's like a catch-22, double-edged sword, and just keeps, it's never going to get any better unless you just talk to each other
I'm with you 100%. I agree that it probably goes both ways, but I can never remember a man that I don't know of on Facebook saying something like,
I do.
Oh, my wife.
I'm not going to say it now, but I'll tell you later.
I know who you're thinking, actually, now. One guy. One guy in the world where I could spit you off 5 or 10 that are women. But it could go both ways, but I think the majority of the passive-aggressive stuff
on social media
would go... more on the women. Men do plenty of bad shit, and we'll cover that, all kind of bad shit.
But I mean, it's the bottom line with that is that whoever's doing that is asking for attention because they feel like their partner is not giving them attention, and then, you know, like I said before, it's just a vicious cycle. Like, unless you talk to each other and figure out what the fuck's bothering you and what needs to happen to fix it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just...
No, and excuse me if you heard any background noise. That was me grabbing one of my 4 drinks here.
You literally have 4 fucking drinks. You've got... what is that, a Dr. Pepper?
Yes.
Muscle Milk.
Yes.
Michelob. You don't even drink Michelob Ultra, by
the way.
There's no Bud
Light.
And then a Mountain Dew, but I'm pretty sure you're spitting into that.
Yes.
That's my
4
man.
4 drinks.
Very thirsty.
Take it all in.
Very thirsty. I've got 1 drink, which is a Michelob Ultra as well, because watching the carbs, the carb intake, it helped. I mean, it works.
Yeah, it
works. What is it, ketogenic, that I do that really is? It's really more Randall does it for me, my diet.
Not by force, like I'm some turd saying, you're only going to eat ketogenic and lose weight, fatty. That's not what it is. So let's get that straight.
I was trying to give you a compliment.
I know.
Like, you gotta sorry, set that might sound...
Yeah, you got to set that right.
No, how that works is I said over a year ago that clearly working out a few times a week alone is not doing it anymore. Before I had Gunner, I could pretty much eat whatever I wanted. We were active, didn't even really need to go to the gym, whatever. Had Gunner, everything shut the fuck down. And so it was clear that I needed to also layer in some type of diet.
I thought she looked fine. I never had any problem.
Of course, yes. I love you. But I was miserable with what was happening. So I decided to do some low carb stuff, and because Randall is the amazing husband that he is, and he works closer, or used to work closer to the house, now he just works at the house mostly. he's able to get stuff to make dinner, and so he's basically just taking the lead and cooking dinner for me every night. That's, you know, he does all the carb counting and makes enough so that I have lunches to take to work in the next day, and it's pretty fucking amazing. And so
that's called being a partner, a quality partner.
So at that time when I decided to do the low carb, what is not going to happen is I'm not going to cut beer from my diet.
God, no.
That's, I mean, that's anybody that knows me, I mean, that's just, what? So, happen. Luckily, Michelob Ultra is fine.
It's a great solution.
I mean, it's a
very
great...
Very low carb.
It's very low carb. It's half the carbs of regular, like, I mean, because, you know, we usually just have, like, we used to have just Bud Light in the fridge all the time, and then I would have, like, Purple Haze and other stuff, like Sam Adams. And I still drink that, like, on the weekends every once in a while. But, I mean, like, Michelob Ultra is a very fine substitute.
Yeah, and it will not keep you from going into ketosis, so it's within your thresholds. And
so
it's an amazing diet. I don't follow it.
No.
Which is the funnier part, that I cook it for her, but...
He does all that work.
I can't do the diet, the carbs. I just don't have the, I don't know, I don't have that ability to have such low amount of carbs.
There's too many things that I eat with this low, like a lot of vegetables that Randall.
It's all vegetables.
Wants nothing to fucking almost. Do it. Brussels sprouts. I mean, I love Brussels sprouts. Love them. And
Brussels sprouts, quinoa.
Yeah.
You know. I mean, tons. We both like avocado, so there's tons of avocado in there. There's a lot of cool ways to mess with that diet and keep it going. So I don't mind doing it, but I only did it after she was so miserable because she wanted to be on that diet so bad, but couldn't come home from work and cook herself that and tend to Gunner. So it was to keep her from being frustrated, it was the only logical sense. But no, I did not force her on a diet. Never would do
that. No.
Ever.
You're the best. You're the only reason that it's been successful for me, because I would have... I mean, I don't have
it's
time.
It's tough. No, I don't...
I leave here at 6 in the morning, get home. I mean, I don't even ever have time to leave my desk typically at work, so...
Yeah. Well, no, and that kind of goes into the last point of the... what I was talking about, chopping your... husband's balls off, or your wife. This can go both ways, but the ability to not shoot down their ideas or their thoughts. And Brooke's a good testament to that with me, and you heard that on the first podcast with how I broke her the news that we're doing this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just like, okay, cool. That's how she is with everything, and that's why we fit, because I'm the opposite of that, where I'm gonna start these ideas. And then they might just end there, where I start the idea. But once I bring her on board, then I know she's going to make sure we do it,
mm-hmm.
for one, that it's going to come to fruition. And I don't just keep coming up with different ideas that we never do.
Right, like the national championship bet, which just ended up getting... shooting myself in the foot with that. I made sure we went through with it, and I ended up with a fucking Alabama tattoo.
The best part, though, and I think it's her mad genius, is she always comes out as the champ on these deals that, I mean, she always ends up being the winner of it. And I love that. I want to be a part of a winning team.
How am I the winner?
But, I mean, I'll give you, I'll say three examples right now. Boom, off the top of my head. With the tattoo bet, you just look like a champ because you sat so well. You did so great on the radio. You sounded awesome. And it just worked out. You were just a boss. You owned your bet. You took your ass whipping. And you were glad to do it. And that's just, that's awesome. So that's one. Number two would be when we took up snowboarding. We take up snowboarding when we're 30. And, you know, we beat ourselves to shit learning how to ride. And all sore and all that. We learned to ride. This was my idea too. And then she's a better snowboarder than me now. I mean, we both ride very well, but she's better than me. My idea, I lose again. That's if you're keeping count, which I'm not. And I'm not bitter. But it's just real life.
Okay.
You know, when you're married to a winner, that's what happens. And then what could be number three? Number three, we do this podcast. Mm-hmm. You say, okay, sure, whatever, cool. We'll do it. I'm in. We do it. You sound fantastic. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, you're a champ. And that's the kind of support in other ways of your life that somebody has to step up to the plate and be that way in a healthy relationship, I think. So that's my best takeaway is, and just have fun with the things. I mean, I wish I had your sense of that in everything. I don't know if two people that did exactly, if we were both like me or you both like you, we would never get,
no,
it wouldn't be fun.
You can't be. And that's something that you learn along the way too, with maybe a first failed marriage, is that your strongest, like, personality traits
or
social traits, like, your partner can't necessarily have those same strong traits. Like, you kind of have to be like yin and yang. And I mean you can't have two people that are always coming up with a bunch of ideas and not following through, and you can't have two people that, you know, that both want to be the alpha, you know. You can't, that it's never gonna work.
Sure. But somebody's got to be willing to, you know, you could easily say, and you'd have every justifiable right to in normal circumstances, to be like, you know what, I'm 30, I don't want to learn to snowboard and break my ass and my wrist. No, I don't want to. You're too old. No one could blame you, right, for doing that.
That is a logical answer.
But when you know, I think when people miss those opportunities and they turn down, whether it's the husband or the wife that have these ideas and want to try something different, when you shoot it down immediately and don't see the value in trying to find the fun in it and seeing what it, you miss the chance of really good parts of your relationship that you don't even know about until you try it.
Well,
that's, go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I was just saying, like, learning to do something like that together was great for our relationship, because it was like, you know, we were learning it together and got to, like, get better together.
It was probably one of my favorite things. But
and talk about all the shit we were doing wrong and what we need to do to
and how we weren't going to quit.
Right.
So we learned how to ride. But you can look at that. I remember having this discussion. I think it's a good way to cap this discussion off. I remember talking after we did the national championship bet, and it was early in the start of it, right when they were going to interview us on the radio over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling you how that Tommy had said we could maybe come in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, pretty nervous about it. Like, oh, man, that's, you know, that's scary. But we were talking, and I think we both agreed that we got to try that experience. Regardless, we got to go.
I was all about it. You were like, Tommy said we might go in the studio.
We've got to go just to see what's going to happen. And embrace it for whatever it was. If we threw up a big shit burger, then we threw up a shit burger. Same thing with this podcast. If it blows ass, who cares? Well, it blows ass. But we're having fun.
I mean,
and I like it. And I think it's an awesome experience.
I do too.
So, there you go. Well, cool. Well, I got a couple other things real quick. We got a couple of fan questions.
Ew.
Yes. The Twitter army has grown, by the way.
Oh, how many now?
I think we're at 7.
Uh-oh.
We were at 3.
Almost double digits.
Now, 7 does include Brooke.
Oh, okay.
Who is following us. So, it's really 6.
So, yeah, that's 6.
But I'm going to go with 7, just because that's what it says on the Twitter.
I mean, there are 7 followers, regardless of one is me.
True. And that Twitter handle is @marriedasfuck. You're welcome to come and join up, and we'd love to have you. What's the Instagram name? It's the Married AF, right?
It's @marriedafpodcast.
Got it.
On Instagram. @marriedasfuck on Twitter. We don't have a Facebook.
Yeah.
But except for the Randall Fowler, Brooke Fowler Facebook, which I am positive every single person listening here is one of our Facebook friends.
Yeah.
So who's our first question from?
First one is from Melissa, who is our buddy from my neck injury group on Facebook.
And Kevin's mom. Yes. So, Melissa, if you're listening to this, please tell Kevin that I love him, and I love his face, and I want to squeeze it and kiss it. And this is a dog for anybody that doesn't know.
He's a pretty awesome dog.
Handsome Kevin. His face just, like, makes my heart melt. Just like Drake.
What's his breed?
He's a Bernese Mountain Dog.
Okay.
But,
yeah, he's
like,
awesome.
His face just makes me smile and makes me melt, just like Rachel and Kyle Marshall's dog, Drake. Like, both those dogs.
I think they're both people.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. Like, they just, you look at their face and they're, like, they have a human soul in there that's just completely innocent and perfect, and I love them.
They're both they're both very photogenic. And Rachel, if you're listening, the picture the other day of Drake in the tub after he rolled in the cow shit was awesome.
He's just so
handsome.
That
was the best picture
him and
in
Kevin,
the whole world.
Yeah, they're, I mean, just the most handsome of handsomes.
And Drake's the one that's not neutered, right?
I don't think he is. But,
he's
which
got
is,
a huge dong, if I remember right. I've seen, like, in some pictures, he's just
he's
spread out with a monster
dong. Yeah, I love both of them so much. The picture of Kevin winking,
very
like,
nice.
Just, I died
fits him.
When I saw
yeah.
I love him. Okay, so question.
Her question was, and we'll both answer this. We don't know each other's answers to these questions, by the way. So, Melissa wants to know, if money was no object, what's the one adventure you'd love to go on together? It's a great question.
It is. We've already done so much traveling, like, in our relationship, that it honestly is, like, kind of hard, because we've done so, I mean, we haven't gone, like, out of the country together, but we've done pretty much everywhere except Hawaii that I'd want to go to here.
Do you want me to give mine first?
Give yours first, because I'm still...
Because I already know.
Okay.
For me.
Because you're better at
no,
this kind of stuff.
It's not because we're better. I just think you're going to agree and
yeah,
be like,
probably.
God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mine would be, Melissa, the answer to your great question, would be to go on a week-long trip together, no kids, to Switzerland to snowboard.
Definitely snowboarding.
Something like that.
Snowboarding
whether
was
it's
in
Chile
my yeah.
or Switzerland.
Yeah.
Somewhere out of the country.
Yes, yes.
Whistler would be down, you know, 4 or 5, but I'd like to go to like Switzerland.
That is so the one I was going to say was China, because my bucket list is the Great Wall of China, which would be a lot of walking and not probably your cup of tea, but also snowboarding in China was the reason.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah. So that...
It's always going to be something snowboarding. But, like, ideal would be, like, if we could go somewhere where it's, like, let's go snowboarding. And then, like, what if we drove down the mountain and there's a beach? I don't think it's possible.
And warm. There was a beach and warm right down the beach.
Because the other thing that popped into my head, but I was like, but it's not snowboarding, was those, and you probably, it might be your nightmare, definitely no kids, but those, like, in Tahiti, those huts that they have that are out, like, over the water. Like, you walk on those bridges. They're all connected
yeah.
by, like, those bridges.
Yeah, I'd be
that
totally
just looks
down
so
for
fucking baller to me. Like, definitely no kids, because that would be...
Impossible. For
I mean, no, it's not happening.
No. It would be too much
I'd be a nervous wreck. Yeah. There would be no fun. But just me and you, oh my God. And then, like, a lot of those things that they have, like, little glass floors, like, in the living room, and you can see, like, all the fish and stuff. So, but, I mean, as long as there's no storm or no sharks, which I guess sharks would be fine if you're in the house.
Yeah,
but
I would still hate it. I'd hate to look at
it. You would freak. I mean, I think that would be awesome for a few days.
Yeah, but...
And then get on a plane and go snowboarding.
an overall trip, though, just because our vibe... Like, in Switzerland, all those ski resorts are just little towns.
Yes, like Breckenridge.
Or Jackson Hole.
Oh, yes.
Where,
like,
you can, you know, you got music, you know, little bars with music, and you can kind of cover everything and just stay for a week at least and do all the riding we want, eat all the cheese.
Yeah.
That we want, or chocolate. Yeah. Which one was more known for, chocolate or cheese?
Swiss cheese and chocolate.
Both. Yeah. Both. All the chocolate and cheese that we want. So that's
God,
my
that
answer.
Place sounds like heaven. Cheese and chocolate
cheese
and snowboarding.
I would be fine with that.
We do need to put that, like, on the list of, like, our 20th anniversary or something. We'll still snowboard then.
Mm-hmm.
When we're... 60. Why the fuck not?
Sure. I think we could.
We saw that guy snowboarding that was old as fuck with like ski poles. Remember?
Oh yeah.
He was awesome. Was that in Jackson Hole? Where was that?
No, I think that was in
Tahoe.
I think it was Breckenridge. May have been Tahoe, actually. I think you're right. I think it was Tahoe.
I don't know.
But
Good question. That's a good,
great question. Thanks.
Now we're going to put Switzerland on the on the itinerary of our life.
I figured you would be fine with that.
Agreed.
And we got actually two questions, so just shows that the fans want to know. And this one's from Bonnie, and Bonnie went to college with me.
I thought that was an Alabama friend. Yep.
And she wants to know, what do you hate about the other one? Honestly, detest. And what do you do about it?
Ow, John.
So John, I answered first this past time, so you go first this time.
Okay, John just jumped up and like is clawing my leg to death. Sorry, sir. Okay. Do you not want me to answer this? Are you nervous?
Absolutely, I do.
No, I'm talking to John. Oh. He's nervous. Okay. Yeah, so I mean, if Randall doesn't know this already, and it's not necessarily about him, it's just he can't fucking piss in the toilet. It's maddening.
Guilty.
Maddening. Like, I will scrub the bathroom from floor to ceiling, and it's crystal clean. He comes in there and pees, and it's, I mean, ruined. And I...
All true.
If you would do something besides just lean over the toilet, you could maybe make it in. But...
I wish it
he refuses. I mean, it is. It really is.
It really isn't.
There's no arguing. If you just stood there and aimed,
there's no
your
way
dong into the toilet
to have this discussion fairly without you having a wiener. And so you'll never know, because you have to look at it this way. And I'm cool, but nobody's or rarely. I've been in a lot of locker rooms, football. Seen all kind of different dongs. None of them are straight.
But if you would actually aim with your hand.
Oh, that's too much. You're asking too much. Because you got to look at, you got.
I'm not asking you to sit and pee.
But you got two boys besides me in this house.
I don't even want to address the oldest boy
and
who has also.
He definitely takes after his dad. He might be worse. At times.
He doesn't even lift the seat, so I don't even want to...
I get it, but watching Gunner learn to pee by watching me lean over is the best.
It infuriates me. Because he just sits there and just, like, rubs his belly and just looks around, and I'm like, will you pay attention to what you're doing? Yeah. You're going to end up just like your dad, pissing all over the floor, and I'm going to just be insane.
And lady fans... If you want and want to chime in and say whether this is normal or not, I think it's every guy. A lot of it goes to, I mean, and Brooke is very obsessive about the bathroom floor, so it gets extra attention. But that doesn't surprise me at all, her answer with that. So
He knows full and well that is a point of contention.
Absolutely. But what can she do about it? Nothing more than she does. She'd get fuming mad for a couple of minutes. And I'll see the rage in her face. Then she'll clean the bathroom floor and be fine.
And then I just accept my fate that I'm surrounded by boys and I'm going to be cleaning piss off the floor for the rest of my fucking life.
And I do try at times.
You do not try.
I try a lot harder. Like, I catch myself a lot. Our bathroom in our bedroom, you know, like if we're watching a show, right?
Oh.
And I have to go pee, I'm tall enough to where if I'm peeing, I can lean my head out of the bathroom door. God. And still watch the TV show.
And still piss all over the floor.
And pee and hit the toilet paper roll. And so that gets her... So I've tried to stop doing that. A lot of that may have been what caused my neck injury. Now that I think about it. And so there's a lot less of that now. I don't have quite the range of motion.
Oh, and I'm quick to correct you on that.
And you definitely call me out on that more
If I'm
now.
Laying in the bed and I see, I'm like, just pay attention to what you're fucking doing.
Yeah, and I try to, too. So I try to pay more attention to it, but sadly, I mean,
I don't know.
Mike could put one of those fluorescent lights in the bowl, like the cool little infomercials.
Oh, that, like, infomercial? I love that.
But then you'd just be more mad when that doesn't work. And so I don't want to do that, because then you'll have more reason.
I
do
kind of
want
to get one of those for the boys' bathroom, though, just for Gunner, because Griffin's a lost cause, I feel like. But
well, Griffin's a teenager.
He's a grown fucking man at this point. And
he is definitely...
He
is going to be a tough
one. I really don't feel like I'm like much of like a nagging wife, but I catch myself sometimes with that where I'm like, all right, just chill out, Brooke.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just that one thing that gets just under my skin where I'm like, why? This is not my pee. Why am I always cleaning this up? It's not my...
Yeah. And I do not... I'm by far worse than the boys, 100%.
Yeah.
If you look at the floor...
Well, if you look at our bathroom versus their bathroom...
Yeah, it's definitely... It's evident. Definitely worse now.
And I didn't mind with Gunner when he was still just potty training, but now... I mean, he's, for the most part,
well,
okay.
He has the least amount of excuse now because he's the closest. He just kind of sits over it now.
No, he's fine when he's standing up. It's just when he sits down to go number two, and then he doesn't do anything.
Oh, sure. No. Yeah.
With his little Wayne-ness and...
We're getting...
Yeah.
Yeah, we're losing the sidetrack there. But
and he doesn't give a fuck there. He's like, uh-oh, I peed on my pants.
Mommy... Come clean this up.
And that's fine because that's my kid. But like, no.
Yeah, it's totally understandable.
I'm thinking that any buddy that lives with males can
feel me on that.
Is gonna
have that beef. Yes. I'm willing to bet.
All right, you go.
The majority of them will. For me, I have two of them that I hate about you.
Oh, okay. Good.
That I detest.
So glad.
The first one is, and it's actually grown to love it, but
great.
You learn, Brooke is very loud. She has a very loud voice, and it runs in her family. Very loud. The women in her family have the loud, and it's just their talking voice. The funniest part about it is I've caught her telling me to be quiet more lately than ever. It used to be me every time telling her, good God, you're so loud. Now I'm getting loud.
Because when you're on the phone, it's like you feel the need to scream at the top of your lungs. And
it's not possible for me and Brooke to be on the phone at the same time in the same house.
No.
The house will explode.
One time, like in the car...
It was not possible.
I was on the phone and like someone from work called you and you answered and I looked at you like, are you kidding me right now? Because for one, Randall does not ever hold the phone up to his ear. It's 100% of the time going to be on speaker. Even when he's in a car with me, who's also on the phone.
Absolutely.
Not on speaker. Yes.
It's true. All that's true.
But so you hate my... voice.
No,
so
that's what
great.
I was saying. That one I've kind of grown, obviously grown to either admire or want to copy, because I've gotten louder. But watching it trickle down your family is the funny part, with you and your sister. Everyone's loud.
And Casey.
Yeah, and Casey, who's our niece, she's definitely got the gene.
I think her volume is even louder than all of us together. I mean,
her
she's
standard
got,
talking voice would probably be the loudest. Susan's is pretty loud. But they're good projection voices. That's why she sounds so good on here and she sounded so good on the radio. It's not a diss. It's actually a cool trait. So,
okay,
nothing I'm
going to
do about that one except talk louder also, Bonnie. So that's where that's come from. Number two is more of a jealousy thing. It drives me nuts, though, is she has an uncanny ability to fall asleep the second that she wants to. Immediately. It drives me insane because it takes an act of Congress for me to go to sleep at night and to shut my brain off. So, obviously, I want everyone else to feel that same pain.
Oh,
and
babe.
As soon as she says, I want to go to sleep, she's asleep. right then. So yeah. It's a strictly her making the decision.
I could even be like, man, I'm not going to fall asleep for a while.
I'm not even tired. And unless it's during the day, I can do that during the day. Like, nobody's business.
Because you don't sleep properly at night. And then during the day, you're exhausted.
And so what can I do about that, Bonnie? Nothing but sit there and be jealous every single night, pretty much,
of her ability
to sleep so soundly quickly.
I wish I could tell you I would work to resolve that, but I'm not
Well, somebody's got to get the rest.
And I'm still not fully rested. I don't get but 5-6 hours of sleep a night, and that's not enough for me.
You're fine. You're a perfectly healthy champion.
I'm exhausted all the time.
Well, so that's that. And good God, we went long.
Oh, yeah.
50 minutes strong. Yeah. Well, all right. Well, we are going to wrap this one up. And like I said, we're going to have a guest this week. Hopefully that continues to work out. We're going to have a very special guest who is also our brother-in-law.
Yes, my sister's husband.
Jim Holloway, a.k.a. Jimbo.
Jimbo.
A.k.a. Gimbleton.
Wait, any what? Of those. Jambalaya?
Jambalaya works. And Jim works in the gun industry. And
he's so a manager of a gun store.
I want to have his... he's the most knowledgeable person I know on guns. And I want to have him on here not to talk anything political about guns. Because, for one, he's not like that. Just to clear up some facts.
Fuck that.
Some facts that are... some things that are being misconstrued about guns. What's real, what's not. Nobody better to ask than him. I think he can shed some good light on that, and it'll be interesting. So be looking forward to that one. And that's all I got, baby. You got anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks for the questions,
yes,
ladies.
More questions. Love you guys. And we will see y'all later.
Bye.